Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I decided what I would do this morning is ceremoniously begin Canto 3, because I didn't completely complete Cantos 1 and 2, but almost. And so we're launching on Canto 3 for recording purposes. And we don't have anything written on the board, so I'll just chant the verse. It's the first two verses. The title of the chapter is Questions by Vidura. And it reads, Sri Suka Uvacha, Etam Etat Pura Prishto Maitreyo Bhagavan Kila Chatravanam Pravishtena Chattva Chakra Griham Radimat. Shukadeva Goswami said, after renouncing his prosperous home and entering into the forest, King Vidura, the great devotee, asked this question of His Grace Maitreya Rishi. The next text is not the question. The question comes text 3. But here's Shukadeva Goswami continuing to speak. Yadva ayam mantra kridvo bhagavan akileshwaraha pauravindra graham hitva pravishat masat kritam pravishat masat kritam. What else is there to say about the residential house of the Pandavas? Sri Krishna, the Lord of everything, acted as your minister. He used to enter that house as if it were his own. And he did not take any care of Duryodhana's house. So this is Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. Speaking of his house, Maharaj Parikshit's house is the same as the house of the Pandavas, because he's the grandson of the Pandavas. And that Krishna regarded his house, or the house of the Pandavas, as his own. Would you like your house to be considered by Krishna as his own? That's what's in the purport. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to the Gaudiya Achincha Beda Abheda Tattva philosophy, anything which satisfies the senses of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is also Sri Krishna. For example, Sri Vrindavan Dham is not different from Sri Krishna. Tad Dhamma Vrindavanam. Because at Vrindavan, the Lord enjoys the transcendental bliss of His internal potency. Similarly, the house of the Pandavas was also the source of transcendental bliss for the Lord. It is mentioned here that the Lord identified the house with His own self, not only His own house, but His own self. Thus the house of the Pandavas was as good as Vrindavan. And Vidura should not have given up that place of transcendental bliss. Therefore, the reason for his quitting the house was not exactly family misunderstanding. Rather, Vidura took the opportunity to meet Rishi Maitreya and discuss transcendental knowledge. For a saintly person like Vidura, any disturbance due to worldly affairs is insignificant. So we should become like Vidura. Such disturbances, however, are sometimes favorable for higher realization. And therefore, Vidura took advantage of a family misunderstanding in order to meet Maitreya Rishi. Not like when he left the palace, he was thinking, oh, this is a nice opportunity, I'll go find Maitreya Rishi. He had no idea that the Lord's plan was for him to meet Maitreya Rishi. But the Lord's plan was for him to meet Maitreya Rishi and achieve spiritual perfection. I'll repeat, he didn't know that, but he had full faith in the Lord. And because of his full faith in the Lord brought him to Maitreya Rishi. And it wasn't the next day. He was just like wandering in the forest and boom, there's Maitreya Rishi. It was years. But in the course of those years, it was preparing himself to meet Maitreya Rishi. Preparing himself in the form of detachment and knowledge and purification and intensification of eagerness to receive that which Maitreya Rishi was all along ready to deliver. And moreover, it gave opportunity for the Lord to instruct Vidura with Maitreya listening so that Maitreya received transcendental knowledge directly from Krishna, and then Vidura came. It's all part of the transcendental plan of the Lord. That's the privilege of a faithful person. So, backing up, Srimad Bhagavatam is not chronological. Vyasadeva does not lock himself into that kind of a frame of reference. It's not chronological. Meaning, the previous mention of Vidura leaving home was way back in the first canto. And all this stuff was said in the second canto that has nothing to do with, apparently, with the storyline of Vidura leaving home and then meeting Maitreya. So the intent of the composition of Srimad Bhagavatam is not storytelling. There's a storyline, but that's not the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. The essence of Bhagavatam is to elevate the audience, that's us, Maharaj Parikshit and us, to the spiritual realm, to our eternal relation with Krishna, once again. And it's done by the medium of Krishna Katha. And the sequencing of Krishna Katha need not be chronological. It can be chronological, But it need not be chronological. It's not essential that it's chronological, meaning events sequenced in time. Shukadeva Goswami has already shown from the very beginning of his appearance and the beginning of his speaking in the second canto that he's on a spontaneous platform. He's tuned in to what's going on with Maharaj Parikshit, but he's on a spontaneous platform. And so spontaneously he's now resuming talks about Vidura and Maitreya. So the misunderstanding that's being referred to here is specifically the insult of Duryodhana. And in a broader sense, it's the despicable behavior and character of Duryodhana, and the attempt that Vidura made while he was residing in the royal palace of the Pandavas, the attempt that he made to correct, through correcting Dhritarashtra, to correct Duryodhana. Can something be done? Can you correct, fix, put it back down where it was fine the way it was. When Dhritarashtra failed to correct his son, because Vidura generally didn't instruct Duryodhana, he instructed Dhritarashtra, or advised, gave his sagacious advice to his elder brother. Very, very good advice. Mahabharata is filled with how a qualified person can help a terribly unqualified person see the light. But he refused, like the discussion yesterday evening. Transcendental knowledge cannot be received if one is attached to a misconception or is attached to sense gratification. One cannot receive transcendental. So he tried to deliver transcendental knowledge and moral instruction, both. Dhritarashtra couldn't receive. Finally, he turned and blasted Duryodhana directly. That just made Duryodhana seethe with anger. Then he turned to his father. He said, "Don't you see? You're bringing the destruction of the entire dynasty through this son. It started from the very day that Duryodhana was born. All inauspicious omens were present throughout Hastinapur. Jackals were howling and vomiting blood, vomiting fire. And during the daytime, it became dark like night, and rumbling sounds like thunder in the sky, although there was no thunder. And so many inauspicious omens." Vidura informed Dhritarashtra the portents of this child's birth says the destruction of our dynasty is through this child. He should be dealt with in a proper way. Protect the entire kingdom. Dhritarashtra was unable to do that. And throughout his life he was unable to do that because he was attached. Couldn't correct his son. Didn't even try. Too much permissive because of attachment. And so Vidura left. Not simply because, as the verse is saying, family misunderstanding. But there was a higher purpose. And the higher purpose, for starters, was purification. So he left in order to relieve himself of the worldly responsibility of life, not out of frustration, but to achieve a higher purpose. And Krishna led him to Maitreya. Just to emphasize the way that Prabhupada has described this, for a saintly person like Vidura, any disturbance due to worldly affairs is insignificant. Krishna consciousness is neither created nor destroyed by worldly circumstance. And the flip side is because there's shelter of a saintly person in Krishna, worldly circumstance is just simply different varieties of service. That's all. This variety of service, that variety of service. Krishna gives opportunity to serve him. And worldly circumstances present themselves one after the next. How to serve him. Some intention of the Lord, whatever that may be, it may not be evident when the circumstance presents itself, but whatever that may be, some opportunity for service, and one accepts in that mood some opportunity for service. With a smile, thank you, Krishna, some opportunity for service. In fact, Prabhupada writes, such disturbances are sometimes favorable for higher realization. The circumstances, not just how you respond to the circumstances, but the circumstances. Take more shelter of Krishna rather than complacency. Oh, everything is going very nicely. Then it's easy to be complacent. And when circumstances are challenging, then more intensely I need to take shelter of Krishna. And Krishna describes specifically that he created various circumstances for the residents of Vrindavan so that they would take more shelter. Like the Kaliya Leela is a very, very nice one. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What difficulty is there for Krishna? But he allowed the envious Kaliya to grab him in his coils. As if Krishna is in danger. Krishna has... He showed later, no problem. When Balaram heard the problem, he smiled, said, Krishna's having fun. No problem. But the residents of Vrindavan were thinking, oh, Krishna's in difficulty. What to do? Such a nice leela. Because it's unique in this sense. In other leelas, the residents of Vrindavan were in difficulty, so they turned to Krishna. And Krishna relieved them of the difficulty. But here Krishna's in difficulty. What do? They went mad. That's what they did. Krishna's in difficulty. Let us try to rescue him. But the circumstance was such they couldn't rescue him. To rescue him, they had to go through the lake and instantly they'd die. They couldn't rescue him. And Krishna was in difficulty. They went on for hours. You know, like wrestling with Chandu and Mushtika. Or sometimes Krishna would fight with demons and the demons would make a strike a blow fighting with Jambavan. They fought with their steel or iron clubs, bashing and bashing and bashing and bashing. Then with tree trunks, and then with boulders, and then with their fists, and fighting for 30 days and nights non-stop. Krishna, for Krishna, it's nothing. No. Nothing. But Krishna allowed that so that Jambavan could get his realization. Oh, you're not a thief in my cave. You're the personality of God. You're my worshipable master. Oh no, what have I been doing? So for a devotee, again, a devotee on the level of Vidura, then adverse circumstances can sometimes be a springboard for great transcendental realization by depending more upon Krishna. Like Atmani made in a question yesterday about, you know, realizations on Sankirtan. I was thinking about this after you asked. Because Sankirtan is a situation where you're just placing yourself at Krishna's mercy. And it can be very intense because, you know, people don't want Krishna and we're giving Krishna. So you just have to depend on Krishna. And it's by spiritual strength, it's not by tricks or anything, it's by spiritual empowerment. So one's dependent upon Krishna. It's a very nice position to be in. It intensifies one's submission and surrender and dependence upon Krishna. Very nice service. Anyone that's done that service knows it's true. So accepting or Krishna's sending circumstances that are difficult, that's very nice. Vidura took it that way. He wasn't just like, as we say in ISKCON, fried. He was happy. Now the language of Shukadeva Goswami is, he's remarking how there was irony in Vidura's leaving. He left that place which Krishna considered to be non-different from himself. Why did he do that? I mean, if you were in a place that's non-different from Krishna and somebody made some remark, you know, it's have no consequence. Oh, it's remarkable, it's ironical that he left. Then so Prabhupada goes a little more deeply into that subject, and he explains it's the Achintya Beda Abheda Tattva teaching of Lord Chaitanya that says anything which satisfies the senses of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is also Sri Krishna. Now that means devotional service, because devotional service, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, Bhaktir Uchate, devotional service is to please the senses of Krishna. So devotional service, bhakti, is not different than Krishna. And we're given the privilege of devotional service, which is non-different than Krishna. Now the Achintya Veda Veda Tattva teaching is, there's also a difference. Bhakti, Devi, is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. Or it's under her care that devotional service is being performed. It's by her mercy. And Radha as the feminine counterpart of Krishna, they're one entity. But then the difference part is the energy and the energetic are different. There's a oneness and there's a difference simultaneously. So it's by the agency of the internal potency of Krishna that there's devotional service. It's by the agency of the internal potency of Krishna that there's the holy dham of Vrindavan. By Krishna's internal potency, specifically by his samvit potency, the dham is manifest. And that dham is none different than Krishna. So when Krishna descends, he descends with his dham. It's not like, you know, he doesn't want to be alone or he feels homesick or something. It's non-different from Krishna. When Krishna descends, his whole entourage, all of his associates, the whole dham, the trees, the river Jamuna, Govardhan Hill, Balaram, all of the devotees, the peacock, everything is there as when Krishna descends. It's part of his internal potency. And Prabhupada quotes this, Tadhama Vrindavan. Sri Vrindavan Dham is not different from Sri Krishna. Because at Vrindavan the Lord enjoys the transcendental bliss of his internal potency. So that's the qualification by definition. That where Krishna enjoys the transcendental bliss of his internal potency, that's Vrindavan. This reference, Tad Dhamma Vrindavan, it comes from a Srimad Bhagavatam commentary by one of the disciples of Advaita Acharya. And Srila Prabhupada liked to make reference to the message of the verse. So I'll go through the message of the verse. Araja Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas. Araja Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas. That the supreme worshipable object is Sri Krishna. Vrajesha Tanayas. He is the Lord and Master of Vraja. He is the supreme worshipable object. And Tad Dhamma Vrindavanam. His abode, his dhamma, is not different than him. His abode is not different than him. So Vrindavan is supremely worshipable. As well, Ramya kadachit upasana vrajavadhu varjina yakalpita. It's not Ramya, it's Ramya. Right? You know what Ramya means? It means pleasing. Ramya. Kachit upasana vrajavidhu varjena yakalpita. Upasana, you know the meaning, worship. Upasana vrajavidhu. Vrajavidhu. The ladies of Vrindavan, the gopis of Vrindavan, vrajavidhu. Vargena. Vargena means the group. As a group, all of the gopis of Vrindavan, they upasana, they worshipped Krishna. Ramya. In the most pleasing way. Krishna is the topmost worshipable object. And the gopis worshipped him best. The most, their worship of Krishna was most pleasing. Ramya kachit upasana vrajavadu vargena ya kalpita. Kalpita, as performed by them. This is a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Because what is Srimad Bhagavatam about? Krishna. And who is Krishna? He is the most worshipable, lovable, adorable, supreme object. And his abode is not different than him. And the method of worship of the Vrajavadu Vargena is most pleasing. The highest form of worship. This is Lord Chaitanya's teaching based upon Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. We've heard that before. The Bhagavatam is called the Amala Purana. Amala. Amala means spotless or without mala. Amala. It's completely pure. It's on the Shuddha Sattva platform. That's where that reference comes from, or one of those primary references. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. Pramanam is evidence or means of proof. A way of knowing something. So it's like a lawyer needs to prove something in court before the judge. So if you want to prove something before a learned spiritual audience, there's means of proof. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is Amala Purana, the topmost means of knowing Krishna. Prema Kumarto Mahan. You've heard that phrase before, right? Prema Kumarto Mahan. The topmost outcome of this process of devotional service is love of God. It's the goal. Prema Kumarto Mahan. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matam Idam Tatra Dara Napara. These statements, for which we have the highest regard, are the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is like his invocation verse for his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. So he's attributing these statements to Lord Chaitanya. So we can say, Prabhupada would say, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, and then he quotes, Tadhama Vrindavanam, the abode of Krishna is none different than himself. Krishna accepts that abode of his is none different than him. Now we'll go to Vidura. And Vidura, he's being addressed, Prabhupada has translated it, King Vidura. Shukadeva Goswami said, after renouncing his prosperous home and entering the forest, King Vidura, the great devotee, Vidura wasn't a king. We refer to Vidura, or scripture refers to Vidura as Shudra, because that was who his mother was, the maid servant of Ambika, was the mother of Vidura. By the father Vyas, on behalf of Maharaj Vichitravirya, who had departed. So to create the lineage so the royal family could continue, Vyasadeva was called to perform that service after the demise of Vichitravirya. So he was Shudra, but here he's being referred to as King Vidura because he was, although born of a Shudrani, he was part of the royal family, and that was the Vedic system. Without all the detail. So kings would sometimes, when they were married to a queen, the queen would have maidservants, and sometimes with the maidservants, children were produced, and those children were treated as part of the royal family but not given the royal seat. So following that tradition, Vidura was treated with great respect, like he was a king, although he would never take the position of being king. So here he's being, it's an honorific presentation of King Vidura, a pure devotee, great devotee, asked this question of Maitreya. And he just, like this outburst of spontaneous love for Krishna and Krishna's devotees, the Pandavas and King Parikshit. What else is there to say about the residential house of the Pandavas? Sri Krishna, the Lord of everything, acted as your minister. He used to enter that house as if it were his own. So we can make our home Vrindavan, a place where Krishna considers that it's his home. Even more, it's himself, because his home is himself. And how is that? How can we accomplish that? The house of the Pandavas was also the source of transcendental bliss for the Lord, because everything for as far as the Pandavas was for the pleasure of Krishna. There wasn't something outside of the pleasure of Krishna. Everything was for the pleasure of Krishna. So Krishna came. He regularly came. And when he came, it wasn't like a guest. It was his home. And his home was none different than himself. So the point is, even within this realm, because the name that's being used to address Krishna in the verse is Akhileshwara. Akhila, Ishwara. He's the Lord of everything. Well, that takes care of everything. He's Lord of everything. You know, it was yesterday's verse from Bhagavad Gita, it was Maheshwara. This is Akhileshwara. He's Lord of everything. He's not only the greatest, he's the Lord of everything. So he's the Lord of this place too. This is his place. And if we use his place entirely for him, not so much for Krishna, so much for me, so much for Krishna, so much for me. Entirely for him. Then it's his abode. It's his place. And he enters his place like he comes to his home. And he considers his home not different than himself. Once Prabhupada was asked by a reporter, "Swamiji, your movement is spreading so quickly. So many American people are becoming your followers. What will happen if the whole world became Krishna conscious?" And Prabhupada's reply was, "Don't worry, it won't happen." "But if it did happen, then this place would become Vaikuntha." Now how do you make this place Vaikuntha? Like Vaikuntha is over there somewhere, like, you know, far, far, far away, like so far away, wow, so far away. But, and this place becomes that? Yes. If everything is used in Krishna's service, in that mood of simply wanting to please Krishna. Even adverse circumstances. Even adverse circumstances? Really? How about nice circumstances? Let's just work on that for a while. Adverse circumstances also. Now, in this particular case, the plan of the Lord was for Vidura to meet Maitreya. And so it happened that way. But the plan of the Lord may not be that. The plan of the Lord may be something else. He's not, you know, a robot that only knows one path. He's the Supreme Lord. He has unlimited options. And which one is the option that we're supposed to be following? You know, we don't have a clue because we're these little covered living entities. But if the mood of service is unshakable and true, genuine, real, like, you know, that place of shelter is simply to serve the Lord in whatever, or whatever He places before us. I'm, you know, thinking of a number of the devotees seated in this room who have, you know, different varieties of challenging circumstances. I've got my own different varieties of challenging circumstances. I'll tell you about it someday. One of the things I've been saying regularly is every devotee should have the opportunity to at least 1 year out of their life be the GBC chairman. It's such a nice education. Very nice. 1 year, just 1 year. Within that, whatever that may be, the challenging circumstance that comes into our life, I can't think of people that don't have challenging circumstances in their life. Now that I pause for a moment. Now, how do we address those challenging circumstances? It should be like Vidura. And the path follows the position. The position is service. What's the best way to serve Krishna? I'm not going to move from the position of serving and being in the humble mood of service and what's pleasing to Krishna. That's what I want. So if that's rock solid, like, you know, that's your shelter, then the path may not be so clear, but it's not disturbing, confusing, oh my God, what do I do? And all that kind of moaning and groaning and whining and complaining kind of thing. In course of time, Krishna discloses. But serve, not because someone's twisting our arm saying, we have to serve. It's our constitutional position. So we need to nurture that mood of service by our hearing and chanting and receiving mercy and praying, calling eagerly for mercy. And the regulative activities of sadhana bhakti need to also be strongly in place, so when Krishna sends a prompt, we got our receiver on. Instead of, you know, we're all caught in our autobiography of, oh, look at my difficult circumstance. I hope everybody's noticing my difficult circumstance, because I certainly am, and I'm very important. That doesn't work. Your receiver is not going to pick up that signal from Krishna. Krishna can, boom. He's out of the coils of the Kaliya serpent and he's dancing on his hoods. For Krishna, it's no difficulty. It's, this, what may appear to be like a tension, it's a dialectic, it's a relationship with Krishna. Our life of service to Krishna. And Krishna knows what we need. And Krishna knows what service we might do in this circumstance, that circumstance. And Krishna wants us to grow in our loving mood of service to Him. Read the very, very elevated, even you can say esoteric pastimes of Krishna. And are there no adverse circumstances that encounter the residents of Vrindavan? I mean, besides the demons and things like that, even just like, between, the Krishna and the gopis. There's adverse, there's always something. And how do we regard that something says a lot about our regard for Krishna. And what's important to us in terms of simply pleasing Krishna. Prabhupada makes reference to this Tadama Vrindavan in relation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Rathiyatra pastime. Because it's Rathiyatra, it's a joyful festival. The devotees are pulling the chariot, kirtan, Lord Jagannath. It's a fantastic festival. The mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the mood of the gopis who are anxious for Krishna to return to Vrindavan. So he enters into this realm of tension even in a festival. So he's not like afraid of tension or like, some difficult something. Here's the verse that Prabhupada quotes. It's from 10th Canto, chapter 82. This is in the Rathiyatra. The Lord's dancing before the cart and he's reciting this verse again and again. The gopis spoke thus, "Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen to the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by the great mystic yogis and highly learned scholars. We wish that these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are ordinary persons engaged in household affairs." The longing for Krishna, this eagerness for relationship with Krishna, this is our internal cultivation while we're doing our service, which may be in external ways having its challenges and difficulties and so forth and so on. The internal shelter-taking of Krishna to be connected once again with Him, that may those lotus feet be situated firmly within our hearts, is the mood. May we hear the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, receive the pure holy name with such eagerness, because that's the price. That's what Rupa Goswami teaches. That's the price, eagerness. Then it's our privilege or it becomes the privilege of one who has such eagerness. And then any trying circumstance becomes just a variety of service. And the internal shelter taking becomes intensified. Meanwhile, that's what we want. So, all of this, this is a concluding remark, all of this is an answer to the question the people ask, so please don't ask the question because I've answered it. How do we intensify our longing for our relationship with Krishna? Because that's what this class was about. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions?
When I experience some situations, it appears like just revealing to the superiors, spiritual master and mentors, although not expecting them to be, okay, I want to free up the difficulties, but at least it appears like that reinforces the relationship. Is that
Your voice went down at the very end of the sentence. Is that something, the relationship?
Reinforces the relationship.
If we do what?
If I share what I'm going through, challenges.
Sure. Sure. It's called friendship and love. Guyam akyati prichati. Exactly.
Knowing that they will obviously know about it.
Yeah, yeah. That's this is confidential, and I'm sharing. It's not the sharing is so you can fix the problems, become my janitor and, you know, repair this and fix that, and I'll send you you can send me the bill. It's not like that. And they, in turn, will share things in confidence. Yeah. And your question is, does that strengthen the relationship? Sure. Sure. Do you like doing that? Good. Very good. Anything else? Yes?
Guru Maharaj, when there's a difficult circumstance that we face, and there's some sense of that it's Krishna sending the situation and it's an off-purposing service and strengthening the relationship.
Can you ramp up the volume because the people in the back are straining and they can't hear anything you're saying?
So, when we're faced with a difficult circumstance, there seems to be a mix of understanding that this is situation being sent by Krishna and some opportunity for service. At the same time, I'm not sure why, but there's a pushing of wanting to address that situation within a certain time frame. Is that pushing the impatience probably? Is that the more passion pushing? We need to ignore.
So your specific question is in relation to the self-imposed time, I need to address this like pronto. Is that the mode of passion pushing? That's your question. It can be, but it may also be, you know, the house is on fire. Get the buckets quick. Can be. That is, you know, what's required given the circumstance. It's not always, you know, immediate and urgent. And, you know, another comment is that, two other comments. One of the comments is probably Then another comment, because that tendency is very strong in each of us, the fruitive, results-oriented, and I'm the cause of the result, of course, because that's part of fruitive disposition. So it's quite often it's, you know, pushed by passion and fruitive conditioning. But another is that each individual is different in how each of us address things. Some people are very quick. Some people are very slow, and some people are in between. Yes.
Given your point that there's so many disciples who are household, living in the Grihastha, following the Grihastha ashram.
The world is like that.
Yes. So I was wondering, you might comment about how, say, as these devotees are approaching, say, 60 years old or any tax word year before after that, close by, how you envision what they will be doing with their lives, A, and B, ideally, what will happen, what will they do with their lives?
It's completely off topic.
Well, you go right into the garage, I was, you know.
That's a stretch. A lot depends on how those persons have prepared themselves. Like, I know some people who began taking up Krishna consciousness when they turned 60. And for those persons, what's realistic and practical is not the same for someone who's turned 60 after so many years of devotional service. But for someone who has seriously taken up devotional service for a number of years, I'm without naming names, I'll just share that the exercise I'm going through with one such couple is to ask them, please give some thought to, now that your children have grown and soon will be, you know, finished with their college program, you've received so much, what should you do? What's the balance of your life going to look like? And when you have some idea, let's talk. I can, you know, help you through that process of considering, rather than just like, you know, continuing on the treadmill and then it's, the next thing is grandchildren. And it's just like continued family life. If that's what's required. But that's commonly what happens. But persons who have seriously prepare themselves, they should do something for themselves and for the greater world. They should give back for what they have received. And in this particular couple that I'm thinking at the moment, they're taking that seriously. They know that and they're taking it seriously. And they've kind of ruled out certain things, just because it's, you know, not really suited to their nature. You know, but they're appreciating the prompt, because it's very it's all too easy to just continue to plod along on the same path without thinking, now that this stage of life has come, should I, you know, hit the reset button and take on another set of responsibilities and challenges and duties and so forth. So it's an a guided introspection is my advice for persons in that position. And it's not a cookie cutter thing. Now, it through generations, as more and more, you know, from the very beginning of childhood until those later stages of life, then some preparation. And when that socialization process and the whole of Varnashram becomes more clear, then it will become more clear. It will, you know, the preparation will already be in place. What I just said, this last part of what I just said, is something that Shivaram Maharaj has been thinking a lot about, not specifically just retirement, but Varnashram, the ideal social structure. But he's, because people are tired of hearing that, he's presenting it in a different way. We're giving him 45 minutes to an hour at the GBC because he's been thinking a lot about it. Who is a member of ISKCON? What is ISKCON? And who is a member of ISKCON? That's what he's calling it. But, you know, it's looking at ISKCON as a society. And what does it mean to be a part of a society? And then, you know, the net becomes bigger rather than narrow. You know, a sadhaka is a member of ISKCON. Anyway, I'm deliberately putting it in the schedule at the very beginning of our GBC meeting so that there'll be ongoing talks. And I've had some discussions with two other GBC members about the topic, letting them know it's going to be a topic of discussion. And it led to like this really rich discussion. It's a nice topic. Very important topic. For especially those that are thinking broadly, like, you know, societally, as your question is leading. You know, that's a certain sector. It's a very undeveloped area. Jananda, now he's Jananda Goswami, but Jananda wanted to establish a Grihastha ministry, and there's a sannyas ministry. He wanted to establish a vanaprastha ministry for the sake of persons that might be at that stage of their life, and how do I prepare myself to move from grihastha into vanaprastha? And what happened was all of that enthusiasm that he had a lot of enthusiasm for it, he just decided, I'll just become a sannyasi, and he became a sannyasi, and that fizzled. But, you know, thinkers of the social structure of our society need to put more energy, and from my back to the immediate answer, my personal involvement with individuals is on a case-by-case basis, because there isn't a larger structure. That's what tailor suits a particular family. You know, husband, wife, and what they're about, and how they can take another definition of service to Krishna besides family. Now you did that. You did a nice job. Now, next. Other questions? Yes?
Looks like the Vidura was
It wasn't frustration. It was a realization that the attempt that I made, he made it, you know, to his fullest capacity. The attempt that I have made is not having an effect. I should serve Krishna in a different way. The emphasis is not upon the particulars. The emphasis is upon seeing challenges and obstacles as opportunities. That's the following the example of Vidura. Not the particulars. Because everyone's particulars are different. But there's challenges, that's universal. And we make our full Krishna conscious effort. He tried, you know, the front door, the back door, the side door, the windows, the basement, you know, he tried every place and couldn't get through. So I need to take up another service. And so he did. Let me take this as an opportunity to purify myself. Go on pilgrimage. And hear from saintly persons. Different path of service was his, the higher realization channel that Krishna had for him. It's not the same for all of us. Leave and go, you know, it's not this, not a cookie cutter solution.
Well, related note, I get very affected when I see someone very close to me, not necessarily just a dependent or someone I cultivate in consciousness, going through some adverse circumstances and not being able to come under
control. Okay, welcome to the club. The lesson that we should have a seminar on sometime would have the heading Detached Caring. I've had lengthy discussions with some of the devotees in this room on that topic. Caring should not diminish. Detachment should increase. Detachment doesn't mean I no longer care. Vidura didn't stop caring about Dhritarashtra. But there was certainly a detachment. So it wasn't out of frustration. It was another service. So he became more qualified so he could then move Dhritarashtra. But also, circumstances in Dhritarashtra's life were such that it became possible. Like, you know, he lost all of his sons, that which he was attached to. Vicariously enjoying being king through his sons, that was taken away. And his vitality was taken away. He was now very old. And Vidura was now not just his wise younger brother, he was Mahabhagavata. When he came back. So, detached caring. It sounds contradictory, but it's not. It's transcendental. It's like Krishna. Krishna cares, but at the same time he permits. Yes. This is our last question because of time.
In the first part of your class, he gave the Krishna comes, he comes to his whole abode.
When Krishna comes, what happens? His whole abode comes. Yeah.
If we are losing all the, all, if we
He'll come.
If we are using your assembly, whatever we do, 100% in service of Krishna.
Great. What's going on?
We have a competition of mode.
Competition?
In the mode of nature, like passion.
The modes of nature are competing.
Yes.
Okay.
And we are meeting with the people who have those who are even stronger. I don't see the understanding of this thing is happening within us. But when we see, we feel influenced by the circumstances and the peoples around us. So how I should proceed?
How you should proceed.
Yeah.
Perceive or proceed? See.
Yeah.
Perceive.
Yeah.
See as Krishna sees. See, just you know, you got Krishna in your heart. And Krishna seeing, how does Krishna see? See like that. Not you become Krishna, but you see as Krishna sees. You see the modes of nature acting. And different than Krishna, you think, how can I be of service? Krishna is giving you an education. That's part of your service. Oh, look at this mode. That's very interesting. Look at that combination of modes. That's very interesting. Now, what's the best means for me to serve Krishna in this circumstance? You may not have the answer, but just stay in that position and gradually the understandings will come. You'll become empowered to see how to serve Krishna in all circumstances, gradually, gradually, gradually. Stay always in the consciousness of being Krishna's servant, because you are. In all circumstances, your being Krishna's servant doesn't change because of what you just described. You're in the world and people moved by the modes of nature are being moved by the modes of nature. No, mainly, I have to be concerned about how I may be also moved by those prompts of the modes of nature. Someone's insulting and I become angry. Someone's praising and I become proud. Or there's not much going on and I become lethargic. So I need to, my relationship with Krishna, unobstructed, is my responsibility. And there's also some education. Krishna's teaching me how this material nature works. I read it in Bhagavad Gita, now I can see it over there. I can see, just that's what Prahlad said when his father was doing the Friends and Enemies program. That's what Prahlad said. Oh, I've heard of this, now I can see it. Friends and Enemies. That's illusion, my dear father. Patirna Krishna Paratakshvatova. Such persons can't understand anything about Krishna by their own effort, by the helps of others, or the combination of the two, if they're in that mindset of friends and enemies. Modes of nature are acting. Then the compassionate soul wants to do something in service. At least being Krishna conscious in such a situation in its, is itself a service. And Krishna may prompt you to do something, say something that's appropriate for the circumstance to help this soul, that soul. At least wishing like that, praying like that, calling upon Krishna like that. Not for my salvation, but for service. Stay connected with the internal potency in those circumstances. And then Krishna will give you detached knowledge and some idea perhaps how to serve. Okay. We'll end there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Yeah.